You are listening to the Tuesday Eastern Conference edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. I'm Ross Levitan from Locked On Senators alongside David Morisuti from Locked On Leafs. Mike DiStefano is sailing somewhere in the islands of the Barbados, but we've got David here and it's a good thing because today we are going to talk about the point projections that our friends at Bet Online have set up. Are we going over or under? We'll get into that. And some late August news. The Pittsburgh Penguins have re-signed their head coach to a three-year extension. All that and more coming up on today's edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. It's your team every day.
Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen on this Tuesday, August 30th. We are free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube, where we're at 950 subscribers. Please go help us out. Get to that 1,000 subscriber threshold. It will go a long way. We really do appreciate it. You can also help the show grow by liking the video, by clicking the thumbs up. And don't forget to make another Locked On show your second listen of the day, whether it's Locked On Leafs, Locked On Senators. We've got teams covered from east to west, north and south, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. David, we've got a little news drop right before we recorded. The second longest serving head coach in the NHL isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, I was very surprised to hear that Mike Sullivan, who already had 2 years left on his deal, was supposed to expire after the 2024 season, had another 3 years added to it. Like, if you're the Penguins, it's a good deal considering what he has provided to this team over the few years. But I'm a little surprised that, you know, considering he had two more years left, the Penguins were in a kind of a rush to extend him for another three.
Do you think that it was him being like, hey, this core's aging, I've done enough with them that even when they're on the final hole or final lap around the NHL circuit, I've done enough to deserve the opportunity to help this team rebuild afterwards?
Yeah, no, I think so. I think, you know, like, if there's not many coaches that can demand that, to be honest. Like, what Mike Sullivan has done since he's taken over the Penguins, which, you think he took over a team that had, you know, had won a Stanley Cup. They had Sidney Crosby, getting Malkin. Like, those were some big shoes to fill. And he's coming, he's done a pretty good job considering. But yeah, I think, you know, for him, he wants to make sure that there's some essence of a future commitment towards him, even if the team's future isn't, you know, all that solidified going forward.
Yeah, Corey Pronman from The Athletic just put out his top pipelines, like the under 23, which I like a little bit better than prospect rankings because it takes into account, like, some teams, yeah, if they haven't graduated their prospects, they're going to be higher on a prospect list, whereas this takes in everyone drafted in 2018 and later, and the Penguins are, no surprise, at the very bottom because they've been in win-now mode for so long. They trade all their picks and prospects away to get help that can contribute to what we think is kind of the last dance situation right here. But by the same token, they did just re-sign Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin to long-term contracts, and Sid's 95-year deal isn't even close to expiring. So maybe we're writing off the Penguins too quickly, but good on Mike Sullivan for getting a little bit extra stability. We know that coaches can change in a moment's notice, but now at least he's setting himself up to get paid for the next five seasons, the last two on his deal, and then, as announced today, three more after that. I said he was the second longest serving head coach. Off the top of your head, little trivia, do you know who's number one?
Ooh, number one. I'm just trying to think.
There are six NHL coaches that never played pro hockey. He is one of them.
That has never played. Well, that's even that totally takes away my guess too. Oh man. I'm just trying to quickly go through the list of teams.
As you think, I'll give you a couple wild stats here looking at coaches. Okay. Sheldon Keefe, who got the job, 5 months before COVID hit?
Yeah.
Is the eighth longest serving head coach. That's how volatile it is. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There is about 11, if not 12 teams that replaced their head coach this summer alone.
I think I know who it is now.
Who?
When you mentioned the not playing, it's got to be John Cooper with the
Lakers. It's John Cooper, yes. He was hired March of 2013, and he's been to 4 Stanley Cup finals since. He's got a 2-2 record, but still pretty impressive.
Yeah, pretty impressive. He's the bane of the existence of the Atlantic Division. I was trying to remember when John Cooper had come in. I couldn't remember if it was before the shortened season or if it was after the shortened season. So
right at the end of it. That would have been it. Yeah. Or I guess in the middle of it, because it extended all the way till May.
Exactly right. And he took over for Guy Boucher, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yes, you're right. So get this. Out of 715 regular season games, John Cooper's only lost 220. Unbelievable winning percentage. 650 winning percentage, which is wow.
For a guy who's had no pro experience in the NHL, it's quite impressive.
I think it's pretty impressive what Mike Sullivan's done. Obviously, that's where the conversation stemmed from, is what he's going to be able to bring going forward. I would recommend going to check out Locked On Penguins with Hunter Hodes. He's obviously as plugged in as they come when it comes to covering the pen. So he'll have a better idea because, you know, coaches, they're all bad to an extent. They limit creativity, at least to the average fan that would just like to see 8-7 games. Maybe me as a goalie-friendly guy, I like a little more structure in the game. But that to say, I think that there's intricacies that really the fans of the team notice about the coaches that from the outside, it's kind of hard to tell what makes him a great coach or what makes him a bad coach. But for him to be around that long and to be around such a veteran core of guys who obviously have strong opinions on how the game's being played, and let's be honest, if Sid goes into the owner's office and says, I want a new head coach, there's going to be a new head coach probably the next day. So for him to earn the respect of these Hall of Fame level players, I think that speaks to what type of person you're getting when you have a coach like Mike Sullivan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at, I mean, we just brought up how many teams have changed coaches the last few years. And, you know, a lot of them are envious of the fact of what, you know, a guy like Mike Sullivan has done. Even to the degree of if you look at like a Jared Bednar, like there's some coaches who have taken the slow road to getting to where they are. Mike Sullivan kind of hit the ground running in Pittsburgh. He was kind of a different type of like situation. He came to a team that was already, as you mentioned, already good. You know, he had to, in pretty much his main job was to sell everything on, you know, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. And he's definitely done that considering, you know, after his first season, they went on to win back-to-back cups. They've been in the playoffs every single year. But I feel like the last few years, it's been a little stagnant in Pittsburgh because it's been, 4 straight years of first-round exits for them. It's not exactly the hardest division, in my opinion, the Metro, to get out of. Sure, there's good teams like Washington, Carolina, the Rangers. But you look at the star power that the Penguins have. You'd expect that they'd have a little more success to getting to that next level as it, you know, and it just hasn't happened the last few years. So I was always curious to see if that was something that was going to impact his future with the team, given they're in make it or break it situations every year now.
Yeah, 100%. And they were up 3-1 in their series, right? Against the New York Rangers. So interesting timing, or I mean, coming off of that, but it's clearly a much, much more long-term play than that. They were also playing their second and third string goalies in that series for the most part. So I do understand where the Penguins are coming from, but it is a little interesting. You never see it with 2 years left. Always the year going into your final season as a head coach, you want that stability of being like, yeah, I'm not a lame duck here sitting around like just waiting to get fired. No, he's doing it a year extra and he's got back-to-back Stanley Cup rings. So interesting as well, right? The only two coaches that have been at their current job since 2015 or further behind have 2 Stanley Cups. And the third longest serving coach has the opportunity to go back to back because that's Jared Bednar with the Colorado Avalanche. Really just such a volatile position. You think it's like, usually it's like goalies kind of go in and out at their voodoo. Head coaches, it seems like either catch lightning in a bottle or you have to let it go pretty soon after. So congratulations to Penguins fans. I think he's pretty well liked as in terms of the fan base. Obviously, there's some fan bases that get on their coach. I mean, you saw that in Toronto with Mike Babcock. Even when the team was having success in the wins and losses, we know it goes a lot further than that. So seems like it's a good fit there. Mike Sullivan signing a 3-year extension with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Right after a quick break, we're going to get into some betting odds with Bet Online. Our friends, they put out a new list, every single team's over and under. And in particular with the Eastern Conference, and even more so with the Atlantic Division, I put together the Atlantic Division based on their projections, and we'll see what this means going forward. But first, David, you've got a quick word, and it's a very important word from our friends over at Drive Sober.
Yes. Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? What's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit. It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI.
All right, you're listening to the Eastern Conference Tuesday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. The beauty of the Locked On NHL podcast is that it's local experts on the different stories each and every day of the week, Monday through Friday, with different hosts each day. Gil Martin every Monday takes a look around the biggest stories from the weekend. He'll have on three different hosts, get the lowdown of what's going on in their little sphere. Then we've got the Eastern Conference on Tuesday. Jess and Brett have the Western Conference on Wednesday. I know the week finishes off with Gil Martin and Rachel Doner. They take, a look around the league more so on a greater scale. And my friends on Thursday, it's Chris Michelli and why am I blanking on Adam Demker from Locked On Lightning. So we appreciate all these guys and what they do and what they bring to the Locked On Network. It truly is your team every day. We love being your first listen each and every weekday. And for your second listen, why don't you go tune into Locked On Leafs? They think they're getting Patty Kane. Just because the Sens stole Alex DeBrincat, David, doesn't mean that you guys can steal Patrick Kane. I saw some responses that said, we'll take him for Alex Kerfoot, Justin Hall, and a second round pick. I swear I saw that proposal.
I saw it a few times.
Have to throw in the second round pick, eh?
There was, I don't know if you ever were around during were following the Leafs during, there was one time where every trade that the Leafs were involved, there was a joke about how it always involved two of the team's prospects and a second round pick. So it would be Andrew Nielsen, Jeremy Bracco, and a second round pick. So every single trade, like if somebody says, all right, what would be your trade proposal for such and such player? It'd be Nielsen, Bracco, and a second. Yeah. Every single time. So I feel like the second round pick might have some ties to that. But yeah, I know there were some interesting takes on a Patrick Kane deal. It was a very intriguing episode because the Kane situation is not like any other because he has full control on everything.
Right.
Somebody actually on our podcast mentioned it was not too far from Claude Giroux. But I'm like, well, no offense to Sens fans, but I'm pretty sure most would agree that Patrick Kane is a little different than Claude Giroux.
I mean, they're both top five in scoring since 2010.
Yep, they very are.
But you're right. I think he's what, 2 years younger? Yeah, one or 2 years younger for sure.
Yeah, because he's 33, if I'm not wrong. Plus, yeah,
Giroux's turning 35 this year.
Plus, you know, Patrick Kane is, you know, his salary is quite large, right? Mm-hmm. So there's got to be some cap shenanigans to get that all sorted out. Plus, you know, he put up 90 points last year. Yeah. You know, like he's still Showtime Patty Kane. Like this is not a guy who's near the end of his career trying to get that Stanley Cup.
Correct.
This is a player that's won a bunch of times, still wants to win, doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild. Similar to Claude Giroux in a way, but except that he's won in the past.
Correct. Oh, it's interesting. I like how obviously Kane's got three, which is pretty impressive. And even from a sense perspective, obviously I've been watching my fair share of Alex DeBrincat highlights this summer. And the amount that come off of unbelievable feeds from Patrick Kane, it's astounding. He is still an elite, elite player. And right now, he's still in Chicago, though. So you guys can have your fan fiction for now. I don't know how a team that's over the cap. Don't you guys have to sign Rasmus Sandin first?
Yeah, pish posh. But
take care of who's at home before you invite people over.
The Patty Kane situation is also going to be way down the road. So got lots of time to figure that out.
All right. That is some professional, how do I call it? Not teasing, but allowing myself the appropriate time to put together not a graphic, but something that I can screen share here. As earlier today on Twitter at Sen Central, I put out the Atlantic Division numbers. So now while you were talking Patty Kane, I've now found the Metropolitan and I've put them all together here in order. So as you can see, our friends at Bet Online, they've put up the projected number of points. You can go to betonline.ag, free, no free ads, but hey, they've been our friends for so long that we'll mix them into this show. We appreciate them so much. And what they've done here, you can go to betonline.ag and bet the over or under for this. And sometimes it's hysterical. Like last year, they had, I need to actually find it because it's so appalling and obviously we'll have a laugh. Battle of Ontario. Verbal meme. The one person from the Bloods and the one person from the Crips and they tie their bandanas together. You know what I mean? And they signal peace. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so. I think that's what I'm just trying to visualize it.
Yeah.
I think I got it.
You can find it. It's two people that hate each other, but they come together for a cause. Last year, Bet Online had the Montreal Canadiens point total at 89.5. They finished with 55.
I remember that actually.
They finished with 55 points and their over under was 89.5. So anything can happen. Anyone can win. Go over and check them out at Bet Online. But which number do you want to start? Why don't we start with the Metropolitan Division just because I have that a little bit easier to see, and then I'll zoom in on the Atlantic. Like, first thing that jumps out at me here is that the New York Islanders are apparently going to bounce back because that was a team that missed the playoffs by 20 points last year and lost one of the best coaches in the National Hockey League, let go of Barry Trotz, and in comes Lane Lambert, who by all accounts is a fantastic associate coach. He's making his coaching debut at the NHL level. It's an aging core, but they do have a superstar goalie. I think he gets overshadowed in New York by Shesterkin, but Ilya Sorokin is almost every bit as good as Shesterkin. Like, what do you see as the Islanders, who last year finished with 84 points, being right back up there at 94.5 as their over-under?
Yeah, like they didn't really have like the most... They had a pretty underwhelming offseason, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm a little confused about this. Like, if they made one of those deals for, like, to get, like, a Nazem Kadri, then I would give them more of the benefit of the doubt. I just don't see the 94.5. I thought maybe where the New Jersey Devils are, 88.5 is a more appropriate number for the Islanders. Because, like, you're trying to bet here. You think they're going to go over?
No.
I can't see that. Even like to have them above Washington. I know Washington's got a new goaltender in town and they're trying to get back into, but I still think the Washington Capitals are a better team than the New York Islanders. Like I don't see where I know it's they had the goaltending, but that's simply not going to be enough, especially with the new coach that don't really know much about and don't really know how he's going to gel with this aging team with not a lot of talent on it.
Yeah, I mean, they're banking on big comeback seasons from guys like Anders Lee. I mean, Brock Nelson was still pretty decent last year, but Pageau, his offensive numbers weren't what they had been the previous two seasons, and he signed a monster six-year, $5 million per deal, so you're expecting offense. I mean, he's a great third-line forward, but at that price, you're expecting him to be a 50-point guy at the NHL level. Now, I also found it pretty interesting that even though Columbus – went out and took a huge swing and got Johnny Gaudreau. They've got Kent Johnson coming in. I'm going to be on the over for Columbus at 79.5 points. I think that that's kind of low for them.
Yeah, because I still think they have a good goaltender. You know, Elvis Merzlikins is still a really good goalie. Gaudreau should help. add some of that scoring touch.
And when you got Erica Branson, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I forgot about the stud edition of Erica Branson. He is a stud, by the way, just not on the ice.
Yeah, fair.
You also look at the fact that Kent Johnson, I would expect that he's going to be a part of the team in some regard after the World Junior Tournament that he had. I also look at their defense. It's not terrible. Zach Redsky's still there. He's still a really good defenseman. Like,
Bockvist is good too.
Yep. You know, like they have pieces there. They're a team that's intriguing. I know there's probably a lot of question marks about the offense and where the offense is going to come from. They had to make some tough decisions this past offseason, but you add Gaudreau, you still got your goaltending is still solidified. Your blue line has some, as you said, some young budding talent. I think that's a little bit of a disservice for Columbus at 7.5. Unless things totally fall off the rails early, I don't see them. And there's no pressure on them, too. That's the other thing. Columbus is not expected to do anything. Those are teams that always excel and kind of overachieve in a lot of ways.
So I'm going to ask you the same question, but for me, I'm taking the under on Islanders points at 94.5. And I'm taking the over on Columbus, 79.5. And I'm also, and this might surprise you, I'm taking the over on Philadelphia at 78.5. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but Torts always gets an immediate push from his group. Even if they fall off towards the end of the season, I still think that they're going to be around that 80 to 85 point range. And I think that short term, Torts is going to get a lot out of them. Kevin Hayes missed a lot of the year. I still think he's got another year to get to. And obviously he has familiarity with Torts from their time with the Rangers together. I think Cam Atkinson's due for a bounce back year. Another guy who knows Torts. So I think that it all hinges on Carter Hart. Which one are we going to get? The one from last year or the one that came up as a first round talent. Yeah. But I'm over on Columbus and Philly from the Metropolitan Division.
Yeah, I think Torts always, you're right. He always gets the immediate response. He's got a really tough roster to work with in terms of, especially on the blue line. But I think, 78.5, I can see them getting to 80 points minimum.
Are you over or under on New Jersey at 88.5?
I'm under.
Yeah.
I'm under on them just because they're another team that it's a little underwhelming talent wise, younger roster too. Goaltending is a big question mark in New Jersey, in my opinion. I don't think they have the goaltending to really push them to that point. So, and look, Dougie Hamilton, unless he stays healthy, that's been a big issue for him. It was last year. So, I think like some of the, if you're looking at how are Philly and Columbus going to get over that 80 point threshold, it's pretty much going to come down to New York and in New Jersey not being at the level that they're expected to be. So I think I'd expect both the Islanders and New Jersey to be under, especially I can't see those guys being in the 90 point range. So I'm going under for those two guys. And I think what you're saying with Columbus and Philly makes a lot of sense based on, I think they can easily beat a team like the Islanders in New Jersey.
Yeah, no doubt. Are those your top three teams in the division, though, by a pretty wide margin? Just like they have Carolina at 103.5, Pittsburgh at 101.5, and then the Rangers at 99.5.
Yeah.
I'll phrase it to you like this. If there's a team that jumps into those top three spots outside of the ones I just named, I feel like from the way you're talking, you probably think Washington's that team.
Yeah, I think Washington is going to be motivated to get back up there. They're my more likely to get back up there. It is really tough because those top three teams are deserving to be up there. They all have not as many question marks as the other teams, but I would say Washington's getting disrespected a little bit by the odds makers, I think.
All right, we're going to get to the Atlantic Division, but first I want to let you know as well that the Metropolitan Division, the way they have this set up, and obviously this is just a projection, nobody's finishing with a half a point. But if this were to come true, as we are listing it as standings, the playoff picture for the wild card would be Boston and the New York Islanders. So it would be one from each division making it to the wild card. All right, when we come back, we'll take a look at the Atlantic Division, which I'm sure will get contentious, as I'm the host of Locked On Senators and David is the host of Locked On Leafs. So stick with us. We'll get some Atlantic Division point projections right after a quick break. All right, you're listening to the Locked On NHL podcast. I'm Ross Levitan alongside David Morisuti. You can catch David weekdays on Locked On Leafs with his co-host Mike DiStefano, who's typically with me here on Tuesday on the Locked On NHL show. But, of course, cruises take precedent. What a guy. He's probably sipping pina coladas right now wearing a Hawaiian shirt. If I know Mikey, that's exactly what he's doing. But I also know Mikey enough to know that he is dipping his toe, not into the water in Barbados. He's dipping his toe into BetOnline's point projections for the Atlantic Division because he is a degenerate with our friends at BetOnline. So that to say, here's a nice zoomed in version. You saw it in the background before, but the Atlantic point projections from BetOnline, they have the Leafs finishing with 107.5, the Panthers with 105.5, and the Bolts with 103.5. Three teams they have with over 103 points. Then they have Boston at 95.5, Ottawa at 86.5, Detroit at 84.5, Buffalo at 77.5, and Montreal at 70.5. Which are you looking at right away and saying, I'm taking the under on that one? They overvalued that team.
Panthers.
Me too.
Funny enough, if you go to BetOnline as well, I don't know if this was just a misread by them. They actually have the Panthers as the higher odds to finish first in the Atlantic, but have lower point totals than the Leafs. We're second on the betting favorites to finish first in the Atlantic. Found that a little curious. Florida, Matthew Tkachuk, he's a very new, shiny toy. Big addition there. But look what they had to do to get him, what they had to give up, and what they lost, right? That was a team that loaded up at the trade deadline and then realized, ooh, we really can't keep these guys because we don't have the cap space, and they didn't have the draft capital and don't really have the prospect capital to kind of maintain those losses. So they're going to be another team that's going to try to score their way winning games. I think that's playing with fire in a lot of ways. I just don't think their defense is good enough. And you're asking Sergei Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight. You're putting it up right here.
That's why I have the under on them right there. I mean, no disrespect. I think Aaron Ekblad's a phenomenal defenseman. And I think Radko Gudas certainly brings an element that I love having on a decor. But Mark Stahl could barely play in Detroit last year. You expect him to be on a top six on a guy on a team who has cup aspirations?
I just can't. I can't see that.
Mike, do you know what this decor could use? Mackenzie Weegar.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder where. Oh, yeah. Sorry, he's in Calgary because that's what it took to get Matthew Tkachuk. Yeah.
Wow. I'm surprised they didn't try to go the prospect route. I mean, I'm sure Calgary was saying Anton Lundell, come on down. Whereas if you're Florida, and rightfully so, that guy is absolutely going to be a star. And I think that there's no better person for him to be learning under than Alex Barkov. As a two-way centerman that has so much offensive ability to his game, I couldn't believe he fell in the 2020 draft. Lundell, he was a guy I would have been happy with at five for the Senators. I would have been ecstatic for him there, and he ultimately ends up going there. But with that, they end up giving up two expiring contracts, but one really could have helped them this year when it comes to Mackenzie Weegar. I'm hearing a lot of guys, and Armando from Locked On Panthers could probably speak to this a little better, who are telling me that Lucas Carlson is like a breakout candidate this year. So we'll see. Time will tell. But Gustav Forsling to me is like a depth defenseman. They have, and Brandon Montour is like a situational. He can be a little bit of everything, but I wouldn't really rely on him. You're right. They're going to try to score their way out of trouble this season. And I think that might be a lot to ask. Now, if Spencer Knight comes in and demands the starting job, we know what kind of potential he has. Maybe he's able to patch up a few defensive liabilities that they might have as a team. But I'm looking at the Panthers. Like even if they're good, not great. Like I'm not saying that they're not necessarily a playoff team, but 105.5 points, I am hammering the under. I think that's a lot closer to 95 than 105.
Yeah, and I don't think in the Atlantic Division, Zaka could be a division you can pick on much longer, right?
Like there even Buffalo.
Yes.
And I hate to say this, but Montreal's not going to be as bad as they were last year. Like Brendan Gallagher couldn't, I think he had a 1.5% shooting percentage last year. Like even if that comes back up to 5%, I think that they're looking a little bit better. Slafkovský, I think, will make a little bit of an immediate impact. Cole Caulfield, full season under under a head coach that believes in him, is certainly going to have something. And I mean, their goaltending without Carey Price is still like bad, but I don't think that they're going to be as bad as they were last year, I guess is what I'm saying, where it was just like two free points whenever you got to play them.
Yeah, I think they're going to be improved. I just don't think they're going to be, you know.
Like, I actually like that over-under. 70.5 for the Canadiens, I think that's right around where they'll be.
Yeah, I think I do too. Like, I wouldn't – that's one where I have to think twice about whether I would bet the under, but I'm also just not comfortable going on. Like, that's almost like I'm staying away from that one if I'm putting any odds on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Here, let me pull this back up because you gave me right there the Panthers as your team who you're going under. Now I want to know, who are you going over?
All right. I actually think the Sabres at 77.5.
Yeah, me too.
That's a team I think could be over.
Their goaltending's Eric Comrie and Craig Anderson. I love Craig Anderson, but he's not 30-year-old Craig Anderson anymore. He's not even 35-year-old. He's 42-year-old Craig Anderson.
Yeah, I'm the goal is, it's funny because like Craig Anderson at time looked like amazing, but also not great.
That decor is so young too, man. Like Owen Power's not going to come in there and be like a top pair guy right away. I know they got Dahlin, who's still young too for a defenseman, 22 years old, but man, that future is so bright. I don't even think they care if they suck this year because they know, I think starting the following year, especially if they can get a goalie in the mix here, that's going to be, well, they do actually. They got him in the Sam Reinhart trade. He's finishing up at Northeastern. Devin Levy.
Yep.
Stud.
Yes. But he is.
You still think over 77.5 though, eh?
I think so, just because they showed glimpses last year as a team and they got a lot of good young forwards. I do like their forwards. Yes, their defense leaves a lot to be admired, but I think if they get even average, sub-average goaltending, that's better than what they've had in the past. I'm just concerned about health for their goaltending.
Yep.
Because that was an issue for them.
Yeah, Craig Anderson missed a lot of time. At one point, they had to bring up Aaron Dell.
Yeah. They had to go with like their fourth and fifth options. Yeah,
Michael Hauser got a few games last year. Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to be difficult for them. My favorite debate, and we're having the Locked On Red Wings guys on our show soon. I think it's going to be a nice battle between Ottawa and Detroit here. Now, whether there's going to be any second wildcard implications or not, that remains to be seen. But I think those two are on very similar trajectories in their rebuild. Both added this offseason, and that'll make it in itself a lot more interesting games throughout the season. I'm also going under on Boston. I know that they've got some great pieces, and I think that their demise is being a little exaggerated, not by Bet Online, but by other outlets who I think it was Mike Rupp that had them on the outside looking in, actually at Ottawa ahead of Boston on NHL Network recently. But where I'm coming at this, okay, David Krejci's 36 years old, about to be 37. Bergeron's different. I expect Bergeron to be elite this year too, even though his age is just continuing to grow. Everything else on his game is still elite. Krejci, I don't put in that same category, and he's going to have to readjust the NHL after being away for a full season. That's a lot to ask. And then their two best players, arguably, are missing the first, not one, but 2 to 3 months of the season in Charlie McAvoy and Brad Marchand. That is certainly going to affect their total points of the season. So I think those two reasons are why I have them right in the mix with Ottawa and Detroit. Like I have probably, if I was doing this, I'd probably have Boston at like 91 points, Ottawa at 88, and Detroit at 87, something like that. I think they're that close. The goaltending might be the difference maker. Do you trust Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman?
Just about to say. I'm not a big believer in them. They did well last year. I think they overachieved last year, in my opinion. Ullmark, should be the starter because he's got the experience. I think he's a little more stable goaltender. Swayman's like the wild card of the two. But yeah, no, I think Boston, people are going with the Boston reputation, but they're not thinking too much about Boston. The way that the roster's constructed, guys that are really banged up, contemplating not even playing in the NHL anymore in Bergeron and Krejci, right?
Yeah.
So, and let's not forget a new head coach. Jim Montgomery doesn't really inspire more confidence out of me than Bruce Cassidy. Like, I understand why they made the move to get rid of Bruce Cassidy, and I met a lot of these guys came back, but I just don't see. I think Boston is going to be the team that a lot of people overhyped a little bit because it's Boston.
Yeah, fair. And I do see a world where they come out and match expectations, if not pass it. Like it's just hard to put it past them because of what they've shown in previous seasons. But at the same time, man, age is undefeated at the end of the day. So we'll see. I think the Atlantic's going to be at least a lot more competitive than it was last year. That was kind of a disappointment on the league, having such a wide gap between the top three teams and everyone else.
Yeah.
So hopefully, hey, good stuff today. I really appreciate the conversation, and head over to betonline.ag and go the proof is in the pudding. Sick.
Proof is in the pudding. Yep.
There you go. So go have your say. If you have a hot take right now, hey, what better way? Go over, go under, and you can follow it along. Like sometimes I think we as responsible gamblers get carried away a little bit in wanting that instant gratification. Like, oh, I'm going to bet first period goal. You know, you want it right away. But I think these plays are a lot more fun because it's something to just follow all season long, and you don't have to continuously go back and be like, oh, I'm up this, I'm up that. No. I put, for example, 2 units on each of what I believe is an over-under. This is how I think the year is going to go. And then you just sit back. You don't have to fiddle all the time. You sit back, and then the last week of the season is the most intense time because you're like, oh, I need this team to lose this game, but this team's playing this team, and I need them both to lose. Like, it just makes for a lot of fun. So, so definitely recommend going over and checking that out responsibly. Of course. David, tee up rest of the week, Locked On Leafs. I hear you have a good guest tomorrow.
Yeah, we had David Alter join us, Leafs reporter. I've always wanted to have him on the show, so he was gracious enough to come on, especially with Mike not there. I don't know if that had any coincidence to do with it. But, he was great. Gave me a good kind of inside look on what he thinks about the Leafs going into this season, especially on Kyle Dubas' future with the team.
Interesting. Are you talking Jason Spezza, future GM?
Oh my goodness. I wouldn't hate it. That's all I'm going to say. But I think Jason needs a tad more experience.
A little more seasoning.
Yeah.
It's a league for men, not boys. You won't get that reference. It's unfair of me to expect you to. Jacques Martin, this is just story time. When he got called up, Jason Spezza, yeah, he's putting up a few offensive numbers. Jacques Martin healthy scratched him going into the playoffs because he said it's a man's league and he's a boy. So I guess now 30 years later, that's followed him still into the next phase of Jason Spezza's career. Speaking about prospects, especially offensive ones, we got Roby Järventi joining us on Friday's Locked On Senators. He was one of the top three players for Team Finland at the World Juniors, third in goal in point scoring at the World Juniors, and a second round pick. So we've got that coming up on Locked On Senators. And like I said, go check out Locked On Penguins. Hunter will have more on the Mike Sullivan extension. And every Locked On show is worth checking out. So head over. You can actually go to Locked On NHL or even Locked On Senators. I've curated it so that it's a lot of the NHL teams. Yeah, Locked On NHL has it as well. If you go to the drop-down menu, it says Home Videos Playlist Community Channels. If you hit Channels, all the shows will come up. So you can just easily click and go check out your favorite Locked On shows. But for today, we say goodbye. For David Morisuti, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Tuesday Eastern Conference edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. It's your team every day.